All right, back here in the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. Happy Friday, everyone. A beautiful 19 degrees. Hello. Actually, I think it's going to be... We're going to be okay weather-wise. Just, this is how we do winter. It's going to be 27 today, 39, 38, 41. Like, this is good. These are good numbers. We are just checking off days. And all of a sudden, we turn the calendar to February. You check off some more. Like, any day we can get through without piercing cold or, debilitating snowstorms. We're going to be good with that. Good where we're at right now. Okay, assistant salaries. I know we talked about this the other day. And how, it doesn't matter. It doesn't particularly matter to me what the coach makes, although it represents something. Nebraska's assistant salary pool continues to grow year by year. They are in the mid to upper $5 million range for assistant salaries. By the way, Kirk Ferentz, part of his renegotiated extension, Iowa's going to have $7 million, a $7 million pool for its 10 on-field assistants. That was raised from about $5.6 million in the previous years under Kirk Ferentz. So this is something that coaches like to do. They like to get paid. They also like to get their assistants paid as well. That's a little bit of a different situation than the one that Nebraska is in, as Shenander gets moved up from $800,000 to $850,000. Here's what I'll say about it. And this is what I've noticed, and this is the kind of guy that Trev Alberts is, at least from what I've seen so far. And in case you guys haven't been able to tell, he's going to be pretty dang good. He's definitely a good leader. That much is for sure. I think they're giving him all the ammo, right? So we went into this situation this year where, it got tricky for a minute there. And I think they actually actually tossed around the idea of, all right, are we gonna stop this train here and unload it and get some new people on and start it again? That question really had to be thought about, and then after consideration, they decided no. Well, close it was. Maybe pretty close. But ultimately, as Trev said at the time, if it's close, we're gonna go with loyalty. And that's okay. It's not blind, as he said during that time. So oftentimes we've been in the situation at Nebraska where it's like, man, changes have to be made. I don't necessarily love the way this is going. I don't. And if we're being honest, the chances still of it working, the way we envisioned in the first place, aren't great. This would be the moment, historically in Nebraska, where the administration would get involved or maybe not get involved, maybe start to separate themselves from the coaches that we see, distance themselves, and not put them in the greatest positions to win football games. Do the opposite of that. Meddlesome, that type of stuff. Or not giving them tools at all, right? And I think what Trev Alberts has done is he's taken the opposite approach. He's given them all the ammo. There's no reason, deservedly. I mean, if we're talking about contract extensions and who deserves what, did Nebraska, is Nebraska in a position right now where their assistant salary pool deserved to be raised under this coaching staff? No. No. But this is what you do. You put your coaches in the best position to win as possible. That means getting the right coaches, and they felt like they had to do it to get these guys, getting the right collections of guys and putting the support around him, whether that means investing into the program, recruiting. And Trev, Parker relayed the story to me on the show a couple weeks ago, or I think last week. And he said in their sit-down interview with Trev, he talked about how he was kind of really diving in and looking into the financial pieces of it and saw that Nebraska was visiting a player, taking the plane or traveling and visiting a player who was already committed. And they thought, well, why? You know, can we not? We're trying to save some money here. Can we find another way to do this? And that wasn't the response from Trev. It was, okay, explain this to me. Why? And if you can give me a good explanation of why and you can rationalize it to me, great. Translation, I'm not going to sit here and be blind to what's going on in the program and blindly give you all the resources that you need and, you know, blindly say yes or blindly stay out of the way. And I'm also not going to just say no based on the fact that we need to pinch a couple bucks. We need to save a few pennies here. It's called, what we in the biz like to call it is communication. That has not always been there between Nebraska staffs, whether it's football or basketball, and the administration, whether it's from the athletic director level or individual sport ADs. That hasn't always been there. So effectively, what Trev Alberts is doing is putting Scott Frost and his staff in a position, and really, we can think about it from a fan's perspective too, putting them in a position where if they fail, if it does not work, it's on them. There's no excuses at the end of it. There's no, the administration, they were working against us. There's no, we didn't get the right buy-in. We didn't have the amount of facilities that we needed. We didn't have the resources that we needed to get this recruit and that player and all that stuff. There won't be any of that. If it doesn't work, which it very well may not, it's going to be on them. And not that it already wasn't in the first place, but you won't be able to say at the end of it, you know what, we didn't try. And believe it or not, for this place, that's a little bit different. It shouldn't be. In the past, it's been partly, at least partly, because of administrative failures or administration just outright kind of working against you. They want this to work. This is plan A. They want this to work. In the past, when it's been kind of iffy, I think ADs have come in, especially new ones like Trev Alberts is, and said, yeah, actually, plan A is for me to hire my guy. It's selfish. I get it, because your job's on the line too, but it's selfish. This is plan A here. That's a good thing. And plan B is, you know, if plan A doesn't work, then you move on to somebody else. Oh, and by the way, with the added benefit of, you know, the reworked contract, things like that too. So then you get into the question of this. And I'd love to hear from you guys at 402-951-1620. You can email Connor at 1620thezone.com on the Equitable Bank inbox. Or you could tweet at Connor Happer or Happer Show. Many ways to get in touch with the show. The question becomes this. Where's the gray area? So the space in between, And if we're talking about results, which, you know, mutually agreed upon metrics makes you go to results, metrics, right? The space between what's the minimum amount of games they have to win to stay and the number that automatically gets everybody to come back for another year. The in-between. And if you land in the in-between, can you now be convinced that this needs another year? I didn't, you know, this is a 1 year, you know, evaluation period for me. And I think it is for Trev Alberts as well. But you know there's a gray area. You know there's an area where you just don't know what to do. Like, you don't know what it's going to be. And it's going to be a judgment call. Will they be able to convince you at the end of it, or will you need convincing? You just look at it and evaluate it. That maybe if this new age, you know, new version of Husker football under Scott Frost needs another year to really come to fruition with Mark Whipple and Mickey Joseph and Donovan Raiola, you know. I think I could be convinced of that now. Like I said, not blindly that it needs two. But I'm kind of starting to look at it and be like, you know what? I really like what they did. I really like what they added. They have to win games, obviously. But I liked what they were looking to do, and I liked the idea that Scott Frost has, you know, as Damon says in the morning, you know, kind of allowed people into his house, right? Look around. What's it like in here? Well, you got some dust that you haven't quite cleaned out of this corner in a long time. All right, tell me what I need to do. That's what it sounds like is happening. I love that idea. So, you know, I want to get your guys' thoughts on that. I want to talk to Sipple about it here in less than 20 minutes, which we will do. But 402-951-1620, Connor at 1620thezone.com. Travis tweets at me, tweets at Happer Show. I think he's right. Man, the gaslighting / outright resistance new ADs at Nebraska have created in the past makes Trev's actions shocking and refreshing. Like I said, it's a low bar, but it really does. It really does. they've put them in a position where they don't have to sell it to us, you know? If you have to, then you're probably saying too much. It should be done in your actions. And what their actions have done is they've given them everything they've needed to be able to make it work. It still may not work.
Yeah.
But they've given them what they needed.
My takeaway from the Trev Alberts era is his, first of all, it's his financial intelligence.
Yes.
And second of all, it's the, he didn't get here day one and cut a wrestling promo mm-hmm. on the rest of the conference. We got to restore the order. We got to bring it back. We got to do this. We got to do that.
That's exactly right.
And on Sunday, September 23rd in the Superdome, brother. Like, none of that.
Nice.
Like, just, hey, we're Nebraska. We're gonna fix this thing.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no and hard
it's
sell.
It's a long-term deal, too. It's diving into everything. It's diving into every little corner. It's not just being Bill Moose and coming in and making a whole bunch of hires and saying everything is fixed and I'm going to go back to the ranch. It's not that. And there's value to that. There's value to each of the, you know, the past few athletic directors. But he's, you know, he's into it all. And he knows that in order to be working better than it currently is, first of all, but getting everything out of it, maximizing your potential as an organization, everything's got to be working at an elite level. Everything's got to be working as well as it can. That comes down to everything. That's head coaches. That's assistant coaches. That's analysts. That's people in your athletic department, you know, working the numbers, you know, in the ticket office and the fan experience. All that stuff. He has a pretty worldly view of this thing. And that is good. It is not just about politicking and hiring and firing coaches and hiring your guy and what looks good and optics. He has an understanding of what all that feels like. But, yeah. So some of it's a great tweet, Travis, because some of what Trev has done, I've been like, yep, this is it. And it seems like astoundingly competent. And I'm like, well, hasn't that been the right decision always? Putting your people in the best position to succeed without agendas. Without, yeah, you know, if this works, it's cool, but if it doesn't, then, you know, well, I'll just go hire my guy.
Yeah, I mean, we're all making money, right? It's fine. We don't have to win games.
Right, right. It's good stuff so far. We'll take your thoughts on that. Feel free. By the way, speaking of assistant coaches, making their way around the metro today.
Yeah.
Mickey Joseph. I don't know. I think Mickey Joseph's been at three schools already.
I know I saw Central and Burke.
He has appeared at Burke. He has appeared at Central. And it appears as if he has appeared at Westside.
Yeah, that would be the third, yep.
As well.
I know that kid.
Showing your face, man. We were talking about this with Munson earlier. Be in there. Even if there's not a kid that you want. Even if there's not a kid you want. Go in there, meet the coaches, talk to them, and don't just say, hey, you know, just remember me because I'll be dropping by when you have a four-star recruit. Mm-mm. This is an all-the-time thing. It's constant gardening.
I had to put in my GPS how to get here. I forgot.
Right. There's some real horror stories on coaches and trying to act like they're recruiting schools, but they're not actually recruiting the schools. You know, it's you can fake it. You can fake it. But in the end, if you want the results out of it, you can't. And Mickey Joseph, I think, understands that. So, all right. Like I said, thoughts on that. We'll take it 402-951-1620. We'll come back with a couple things, including some audio from NBA on TNT last night, which was good. The media getting entitled. Ozark's back, which will lead us right into Steve Sipple because that's his favorite show that's ever existed. Sipple told me that he's watched Ozark like 6 times.
It feels excessive.
It does feel excessive. He doesn't watch really anything except for football and Ozark. So
is football on? No. Okay, I'm turning on Ozark.
Time to turn on Ozark, which is back right now. On Netflix. All right, we'll take a break. More up next on the Connor Happer Show in 1620 The Zone.